grace, God. Glory to God. Allow me to read a portion of the scriptures that would establish the foundation of what we are seeing, hearing, and experiencing at this moment. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope." Let me say that again. Into what kind of hope? Into a living hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Now, if I were to ask everyone, if you love someone, how many of you would even think of ways on how to give pleasant surprises to people you love? Yeah. Right? There might be special events, and it's like you would think whether on special occasions or just an ordinary day. You know, I see that in the lives of these two children we have at home, the daughters of my niece, Angela, Haley and Aubrey, when we tell them, "Oh, we have a surprise for you," and they get excited, they get so giddy. And it's like, oh, one thing, you have to close your eyes. And you would just see them believing that we really do a surprise. But, we try to keep our word that when we have a surprise, it's really a surprise. But what's amazing is how small the gift may be. Like yesterday, my sister gave them this, she got them from swap meet, of all places, swap meet. This tiny chickens that when you like rotate, there's like this key that when you like rotate it, it like moves. And so that was a surprise for them, and they were so excited. The reason why I share that story is because there's something about children. When God says, "Come to Him with a childlike faith," many things will be shared to us that would require that kind of faith, a childlike faith. A little child, when you tell them, "I have a surprise for you," they will believe that. And so it's such an important lesson. Yesterday, we were invited to a very special occasion, and I'd like to share this because, there's such it's such a blessing to be a part and to be a witness of how love is expressed to people close to us. I didn't want to embarrass her, but it was her 70th birthday party yesterday, our sister Lillian, and the family prepared and planned for something so special for her. And it was the best kept secret in town. And it's like what was amazing was, for me personally, what I witnessed was her reaction to that pleasant surprise. She was, I think the word is overwhelmed. When that door opened and she saw those people gathered, family, relatives, and even church people that they were there to be a part of the celebration. And so her face was just stunned. She was tongue-tied. And I'd like to use the word overwhelmed. At times, it's like it's something that was prepared for her, and She was overwhelmed with joy and to be surrounded by people that love her. Amen. And in fact, there was a second surprise. The son, who's from the Philippines, was there, and she wasn't even expecting her son to be there. What a pleasant surprise. And so his presence was unexpected. And I use that because, you know, that there's someone who loves us so much. And he planned for something. And the planning, the preparation was like thousands of years ago. It was, he planned this event that would touch your life and mine. How many young people do we have here? I know all of your hands will be raised. So it's not about the age, actually. This plan that God did because of his great love for you and me. See, the message of resurrection, it's personal. We need to make it personal. We celebrate Easter Sunday, and it has become a tradition for some. I don't know how you celebrate Easter at home in your family. I don't know. Some probably, you know, you come to church. You, probably after that, you would have a special meal together. There's nothing wrong with those things, but we don't want anyone to miss what this day really means. When you and I would revisit a story that probably is for most of us, it's so familiar, but what we don't want is that it becomes too familiar that it loses its significance. Because what God wants us is that when today, some people might ask, you know, we look at that video, it's a depiction of the extent of the suffering of someone who loves us, who was so willing to take the punishment that should have been ours because of our sins. Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, won't be here if not for Good Friday. We have to know what happened 3 days ago before that day, that what we see, when that news was said, wow, that stone, like a door, opened, and something happened that people did not expect. People did not expect to find an empty tomb. That's why in the book of Luke, it tells us, you know, allow me to read it for you, because it's there's something about the Word of God. And what I love about the Word of God is there's so many details that would touch our heart when you and I would read it and meditate on it and just, like, pick on it. And so allow me to read this, because I believe God has a message for all of us today. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. So this group of people, they did something because their expectation was to go to the tomb and that they would expect that the body of Jesus would be there. So, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Let me pause there. Are you a visual person? Do you want, you know, some people would say, for me to cease to believe, yeah, you know, you've got to give me proofs first. But see, I think when you and I would visit this story again is, let the story of resurrection provoke us. Let this story challenge us. In what way? To completely trust the naked word of God. Just trust the word of God. When God says it, he will do it. When God promises something, you know, even when there's seemingly delay, no matter what, there might be a seemingly delay, like what happened to the disciples, because Jesus said, on the third day, I will rise again. And I believe that that was the longest 3 days. So when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, because their expectation was the body of Jesus will be there. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?" And these two men were angels. How many of us still believe in the supernatural? How many of us believe that angels exist? Amen. Amen. We have to know that as you and I read this story that our God is a supernatural God. When we say that God is supernatural, God would do things beyond what we see. He goes beyond what we feel. He goes beyond what we hear in the natural realm. When you shake hands with somebody close to you. Just shake hands. Come on. Don't be afraid. Don't bite, okay? Don't. You touch. That's the natural realm. You hear my voice. You hear my voice. That's me audibly speaking to you, and you hear my voice. That's natural. We feel. But you know what? We believe that God is alive, but we don't see him with our naked eyes. Because there's something about putting our faith even on someone whom we do not see. Because when God works, it starts. God is a spirit, the Bible tells us. He's a spiritual being. And so everything that happens here in the natural realm is controlled by God, who is a supernatural God. He begins to work in places that is not controlled by our natural senses. See, that's why faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. And so the angel said, what are you doing here? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Because there in their mind, they were supposed to find the dead body of our Lord Jesus. And so, remember how he told you. Because Jesus, when he said something, you know, what was about to happen, what happened was something that was said, even foretold thousands of years ago. It was not kept a secret, but he used prophets, even in the olden times, to tell about this event. Now, it's a challenge for us because, like what I said, at times we are too visual. We are controlled by our natural senses. But our prayer today is that you and I would just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. We need our spiritual ears to listen to the voice of God because God is speaking to us right now. And then the words was, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Look at verse 8. And they said, then they remembered his words. How many of us at times would experience that, you know, in a setting like this, we hear the word of God and at times we forget. Yeah. That's why you and I need to be reminded. Yeah. Be reminded of the words of the Lord. And so when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, told the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. Look at verse 11. It says, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense, idle talk. Oh, wow. When you and I would hear of these things, it's like, oh, wow, rise from the dead, how could that be? And so our limited minds cannot wrap around the truth of what is about to happen. Because God is going to do something beyond the natural. Kaya at times, that's why at times we cannot even like, how will these things happen? Amen. But look at this. And so Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, I like this part of the story because, let me read it to you, because our God, he is such a wonderful God. Now that same day, two of the followers of Jesus were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, I love this part, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I love this story because it tells us of two people, and these were the followers of Jesus. These were people that at first believed in Jesus, but then the Bible tells us that they were going to a place. There's a specific reason why it was even told that place. Emmaus, it was 7 miles away from Jerusalem where all the activity was going on. So meaning to say, because of their disappointment over what happened, to them it was a big disappointment that Jesus died. The Bible tells us that. But look at this. What I want us to see was they might be going towards the wrong direction because of their disappointment. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came to meet them at the place where they were. Even in their disappointment, Jesus himself showed up. Hallelujah. And so I don't know where you're at. For some of you, some of us, we have not seen each other. We praise God for this opportunity that God has given us to be together. But today, I believe the Lord would like to encourage all of us and to be reminded of his love for us. Because you know what? It's a story that reminds us of his great love for us. When we say that God, Jesus, is alive, he really is alive. Why did, you know, a lot of people here, not just the people in this story that we are reading. In fact, there was one portion that says, because of their disappointment, they expressed it to the Lord. We had hoped that Jesus would be the one to redeem us from the Roman rule. So their hopes were set on something that Jesus would be a conquering king, but the way of salvation came in a manner wherein hindi ho to what they expected, because Jesus died on the cross, and for them, death was the end of it. Death, Jesus dying on the cross was like a sign of defeat, not realizing the significance of the death of our Lord Jesus, not just for them, but for us. Our greatest need, whether you are a young person or even in your prime, our greatest need is for our sins to be forgiven. Because the Bible tells us that we all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death, and that is separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. The cross reminds us of the ugliness of sin. And all of us are bound to be separated from the presence of a holy God forever. But because of God's great mercy, he sent Jesus to die on our behalf. That the punishment that should have been ours, Jesus took it upon himself. You know, while watching the video, I overheard someone said, I can't look. It might be a very graphic portrayal, but that's what really happened to Jesus. He suffered for us. He suffered for us, and the Bible tells us, why does he have to die and shed his blood? Because the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of our sins. That's a special gift that God wants to give to people. It's a gift that's being freely given, and all it takes is to have that childlike faith and freely receive what's being offered. Put our faith in his Son Jesus to believe that and recognize that, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you sent your Son Jesus. But today, I'm going to receive my forgiveness because of what Jesus has done at that cross. Amen. Now, when, you know, most of the times, when we come to see each other or know each other, we need to come to the Lord and really ask him, God, speak to me where I'm at right now. We're so passionate about sharing the message of the gospel because we believe that the gospel of our Lord Jesus has power to change lives. Last Friday on Good Friday service, I was telling the congregation, I'm so blessed and privileged to share this to you because I am a changed life because of the gospel of our Lord. And now, disappointments can come in our lives because how do we define disappointment? It's like we're expecting certain thing and things don't happen the way we would want them, right? And life is a way of bringing, you know, things unexpectedly. It can be a loss of a job. It can be brokenness in family. It can be sickness. It can be a tragic thing that can affect us physically, emotionally. You know, I was just reading a story written by Greg Laurie, how many of you remember Steve McQueen? Not a lot of young people would say, yeah, I know. Steve McQueen, he already passed away, but he's one of the iconic Hollywood figures. But in fact, probably not most of us know that Steve McQueen, even in his fame, his wealth as a famous Hollywood actor, later on in his years, he came to know Jesus. And so now they made a movie out of his life, because he came to know Jesus. And now it's being used. It's being used so that others would know about Jesus also. How about, I'm going to mention another name. How many of you know Brett Millard? No. How many of you know I Can Only Imagine, the song?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, he is the composer of that famous song. In fact, his life story is now made into a movie. Yeah. And that movie, highly recommended. I haven't watched it personally but I'm planning to.
Yeah.
It's I Can Only Imagine movie is based on his life story. Brett Millard, he's the composer of that song, and he came to know the Lord. Of Mercy Me. Thank you so much, Sister Janet. So he is a singer of Mercy Me. It's a Christian band. I want you to Google it, but better yet, watch the movie. What I would want you to know is that in that movie, he said, I wouldn't know if I would be ready. Probably if they did it several years ago, I won't be ready, because in that story of him, there was brokenness in his life growing up. He was raised by a father who was abusive, not physically, but the father had a bad, bad temper. But something happened. See the power of the gospel. The father came to know Jesus in his life. And the life of the father was changed. Now Brett, knowing the old version of his father before the father came to know Christ, said, when I saw the great change in my father's life, that challenged me also to surrender my life to Jesus. And so the father got stricken with cancer later on in his life, and he said, I was not at one point when my father passed away. There was this disappointment that overwhelmed me because I was not angry with God towards the years of the abuse that I experienced with him, but the thought of missing my dad when my dad came to love me. When my dad was a changed man, and he was saying that I hope that he would have lived longer. See, the story of the resurrection, it covers every aspect of our lives, whether tragedies that would happen, whether brokenness in families, or even death, because the Bible tells us that Jesus conquered sin and death. Death is not the end of it. So for someone who has lost a loved one, you know, the message of hope is that there will be a grand reunion in heaven. When a loved one passes away, dies, having their faith in Jesus, they are now in heaven. Amen. Amen. And so, you know what? We are so blessed. Even, you know, part of being in the ministry is we come to know people. I've made mention of two names that we might not know personally. We only know through, like, the songs and the movie. But today we're blessed to meet someone. Probably some of you know him already, the family. But we're so blessed that he will be here in the flesh. Amen. To tell us about the power of God.
Amen.
But before I call on, before I call him and the wife, let me just tell you something first. Before you hear his testimony, there's certain things that we would like you to be aware of. Hearing his testimony would make us aware of, number one, the reality of the powers of darkness, because there would be a portion of what he's going to tell us. And it would remind us that for us Christians who are, when you and I have this strong conviction that when we pray, we are praying to Jesus who is alive. That when you and I pray, we're not just saying words that fall to the ground. We are calling on the name of God who is alive and powerful, who hears and answers prayers. The reality of our faith is so powerful that when you and I come together and pray for people, we don't see what's happening in the spiritual realm, but things happen. And we're going to hear that portion of his testimony. We have to be reminded that there's the other thing is the powers of darkness, but the power of Jesus is greater than Satan. Satan is all out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal the truth that comes from the Word of God when it's planted in your heart and in your mind. But we don't want the enemy. We're not going to allow the enemy to steal what the Lord has deposited in your heart and in your mind. That when you leave this place, you are so convinced. Amen. You're so convinced no matter what's happening. No matter what's happening, when it's like hell broke loose. The Bible tells us that because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, you and I have living hope. Amen. There's hope beyond tragedy. There's hope beyond things that can happen in our lives. Hope beyond what's happening in nations. The hope of America comes from the risen Lord. The hope of the Philippines comes from the risen Lord Jesus. And do you know that the day is coming wherein Jesus is about to come back? That's why we said, when Jesus says something, he will do it. Yes. When God says, I'll be here for you, believe it with all of your heart that he will be there for you. When you feel alone, when brokenness, and it's like someone failed you big time. It could be someone close to you. Someone that you thought you were loved but failed you. Boing, it's like, ugh. And we feel like we're the only one. At times, Satan would make you feel like, oh, pity me. Pity me. And yet, here we have, I like what Hannah read. Coming to the Lord, coming to church is not about religion. God is about relationships.
Yes.
He's about relationships.
Amen.
And that kind of relationship we're in, we grow stronger in our walk with God, that God can even use us. That's the amazing part of it too. He changes us, and then, wow, we look at the stories of the disciples of Jesus that received the Lord in their lives, and then they were so steadfast and loyal to him till the end, in spite of persecutions, in spite of people telling bad things about them. Oh, you Christians, you are all crazy and foolish. I'd rather be called foolish for Christ. Because I know that my Savior lives.
Amen.
I know that Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's a blessing for us to have Brother James Johnson and Sister Claire to be with us. I'd like to call them. Let's make room. Is there enough room for him? Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, let's give way. Here's Brother James in the flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. These are clear. Praise the Lord. Yes, be here on my right side. Good to see you, brother. Okay. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to call on Sister Christu. And of course, before James would say things to all of us, we'll give you a background of what happened to Brother James. And I'd like to have Claire, the wife. Come on, come on, sister. Praise the Lord. We haven't seen each other for
a while.
A while. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so as their story would unfold, for some of us, it would be the first time. But what I would want you to remember about all of this is that Jesus is in control. Amen. That even in the midst of tragedy, and you're going to hear that from Brother James, of what the Lord has done and is still doing in his life. That I love Romans 8:28. It says, "For all things work together for good." For whom? For those who have been called by God and those who love the Lord. Amen. Sister Claire. Yes.
Okay. So. Hi. Good afternoon. For all of you guys who doesn't know us, I'm the daughter of Chris, my brother Ryan and May back there, and yes. My daughter here, Sierra. Truly, God has risen, and that is the reason why our family is here spending this Resurrection Day with you guys.
Yes.
Last year, around March 7th to be exact, my husband James, he got into a go-kart accident. Basically, it flipped. He landed on top of his head, broke his neck. He ended up with a severed spinal cord that left him paralyzed, basically. We ended up going to the emergency room, of course. And even in the emergency room, he almost died. Mm-hmm. Basically, his heart stopped. They had to resuscitate him. Mm-hmm. They had to shock him at some point. We ended up going to the ICU. Mm-hmm. And even in the ICU, we almost lost him a couple of times, too, because his heart will just stop, and then they would just have to resuscitate him and bring him back. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do the surgery the next day, but because he was too unstable, and none of the surgeons wanted to touch his case, so they had to wait for a few days. So those few days, he had to be, you know, like I said, a couple of times, they had to code him and basically do CPR and, you know, all these things that you see on TV is what happened. Eventually, they were able to do the surgery. We ended up transferring to another hospital. Mm-hmm. But that was not even the end of it. After the surgery, he got into a complication where he ended up with pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And the pneumonia was so bad that he went into what's called a AIDS, which is acute respiratory distress syndrome. And so basically, the mortality rate of that condition is almost close to 50%. Mm-hmm. So the doctor told me to brace yourself, you know, we have a 50% chance of not, you know, making it. Mm-hmm. And even if he makes it, he might be dependent on the breathing machine, on the ventilator, because he was on a ventilator, you know, since
for
the beginning,
yes.
For a long time.
Yes, yes.
So he was on that. So that was the darkest, you know, throughout the whole time, he was in a very, you know, just in like oblivion, basically, because he's between being sedated and almost dying.
That's
and coming
right.
back is where he's been.
Can I pause there for that while? Because you said the word oblivion. Now I'm going to turn to Brother James because, you know, we're going to put, it's like a puzzle that we put the pieces together. So all throughout this time when he was so close to death, but one thing we know, it's not over until Jesus says it's over. Yeah. The doctor might say, serious. That's the end of it. But I want you to hear, because when I spoke to him the first time I visited him in the hospital, he said certain things about seeing darkness. Yes. Yes. Yeah, yes. The mic. Okay. All right. That portion wherein you saw darkness, but you heard voices. Yes. Yes, Derek.
My story actually begins long before that point. Mm-hmm. When I was 14 years old, I was in a group called the Guardian Angels. We were a citizen patrol group for different neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. While on a patrol, I was shot.
You were shot?
In the back. Mm-hmm. And I was on the ground waiting to die.
Wow.
And
14 years old. Yes. Yeah.
That night, I was saying a prayer. Mm. And I asked God, am I going to die tonight. Mm-hmm. God told me in a very distinct voice, mm-hmm. not tonight, because I have too much work for you to do.
Wow. Yes, yes.
And you fast forward. Mm-hmm. I live my life, career, kids, family, and I'm 43 years old. Mm-hmm. I have the accident.
Yes.
And a couple came to my aid. Mm-hmm. A gentleman who happened to be an emergency flight nurse for Loma Linda. Mm-hmm. And he cut me out of my harness and cradled me in his lap and wouldn't let me move. Now, my wife told you the story of me going to the hospital and what I experienced from her perspective. But from my perspective, which paralleled hers, it's something very incredible.
Praise God.
I was there lying in my bed. And
thank you, Jesus.
And you know how they say people who have a near-death experience.
Near-death experience, uh-huh.
They float over their body, mm-hmm. and they see people who have passed on that are friends or family.
Yes.
And there's a light. Mm-hmm. But for me, I didn't have that experience. As a matter of fact, I was in a dark place. This place was very dark, scary. Mm. And in this place, there was a man who I thought was a man. Mm. But it turns out he was a demon. Wow. And there were different scenarios. The one scenario was I was in a hospital in some type of infirmary, and this devil or demon was one of the caregivers, and he was an evil.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I think a portion of what Brother James now is telling us is in that time, within the time span of time that he was close to death, a lot of people near to death experience would see light, but in his experience, he saw darkness. And at one point in his testimony, he was sharing it, the devil really wanted to kill him, to be destroyed. But you know what? And then you heard a portion of wherein you heard voices of people praying, yes?
Yeah. I was in that place, the infirmary.
Yes.
And I heard prayer.
Yes.
I heard voices, not just one or 20, but thousands of voices praying for me. This devil kept telling me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your life. There is no God. And from my perspective, I almost believed them if it weren't for the voices that I kept hearing praying on my behalf. This devil put a gun to my head and he pulled the hammer and it kept clicking. And with every click, I thought I was going to die.
Yes.
This was my experience. That was one scenario. Another scenario was I was in a box at a crematorium. And I saw Claire and I saw my mother-in-law, Chris.
Sister Chris, yes.
And they were speaking with the person who was running the crematorium. And Mama asked, when will they put me inside the fire? And they told her that when the temperature reaches 520 degrees, then it'll be ready. And it was a service. And Claire didn't want to go to the service. She stayed with me. And Mama stayed behind as well.
Praise God.
And I kept hearing everyone praying. And Mama never gave up hope.
Yes.
And she kept looking at me. And I kept trying to give her a signal that I was still there. And finally,
praise the Lord.
She saw my eyelids blink. And she said, he's still alive. He's not dead. And
praise God. Thank you, Lord.
They rushed me back to the hospital.
Yes.
I never told you that story, Mama.
But praise God.
But it was real to me. I was there.
Praise the Lord.
And another scenario.
Brother James, can you tell them that portion we're in? You were once in that darkness, but what triggered you from being out of that? At one point you were saying that you were believing that the lie that the devil was, the demon was saying. But what triggered you being like something snapped and pulled you out of that darkness? What was it as we fast forward the story?
I was sitting in a chair and I couldn't move. And again, the demon was around me. And he again kept threatening to take my life.
Yes.
But this time I heard one prayer, one voice. And it was my brother. Now my brother is not a churchgoer. He believes there's a God, but he's very skeptical. And he's not a prayerful person. But that day, or that particular moment, I heard his prayer.
Yes.
He was on his knees praying for me.
Praise the Lord, yes.
When I heard his prayer, all of a sudden, that demon told me, I'm not going to take your life because there's still someone here. And
thank you, Lord.
I finally woke up.
Yes.
And when I woke up and I was able to finally talk after they took the tube out of my lungs.
Yes, yes.
I called my brother. It was the first thing I did.
Yes.
And I said, thank you, Michael.
Glory to God, yes.
And he told me, oh, no, you don't have to thank me. I said, no, you don't understand. I said, thank you because I heard your prayer.
The Lord heard your prayer.
And that's what saved me.
Praise God. The prayer faith, yes.
He was so overwhelmed.
Hallelujah.
With emotion.
Yes.
He had to pull a... He was driving, and he had to pull the car over.
Yes, yes.
And we sat there and cried.
Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now, see, a portion of what he has also shared is the power of people praying. And so this encourages you and me as we, you and I would hear his testimony that there was this attack from the enemy. Now we know that Satan is all out to steal, to kill, and to destroy lives. Right. But hear me, Jesus is alive. Yes. And so when you and I are praying for people, praying for our loved ones, like a brother that prayed for him, and that took him out of that mode of being in darkness, the recovery was amazing, as our Sister Claire would mention. Probably it's amazing because of the power of prayer, yes.
Right. So when he was waking up from the ICU, like I said, he was in a state of oblivion, and I was looking at his face before he could even talk. I could tell that he's been in the darkest place, and he's confused, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then, interestingly enough, it was also almost Easter when Pastor Monette came and prayed for James. Mm-hmm. And from there, it kind of cleared his mind of, he was able to understand what was happening during that time when he was in his darkest moment.
Glory to God.
And after Pastora Monette actually came to visit him, it's just the recovery was just fast. Like within a week, we were able to get him. He got off the ventilator.
Yes.
And at one point, he went into an acute rehab.
Yes.
And did his rehabilitation there, which was, very promising. So he started off with just shrugging his shoulders, and now he's able to move, his arms.
Oh, look at that. Look.
And not only that.
Yes, yes.
You know, he actually started a business. Well, he had a business.
Yes.
So he started a business. He's not able to move, as you can see. He controls the wheelchair with a joystick, which is mouth activated. But he has a computer at home with all the blessings and all the support from families and friends.
Yes,
they set it up to where he has a mouth control, like a mouse that he can control with his mouth at home.
Yes.
So he's able to do photo editing and basically get the business started. And as a matter of fact, he's got all these orders, and now he's busy. He has no time to do anything.
You have a website, so with the business. Hallelujah. Yes.
But
yes,
I want to tell you guys, while I was recovering,
yes,
it was a miraculous experience.
Glory to God. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
There was one time when at the rehab center, I became sick again. Mm-hmm. I was developing pneumonia. And I was very weak one night.
Yes.
And one of the respiratory therapists came in with a nurse to suction me to help clear my lungs.
Yes.
But they told me that they couldn't get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And even told me that they didn't believe anything was there,
mm-hmm.
but I felt it.
Mm. So you were having a hard time breathing.
Breathing.
They were trying to suction something, but they couldn't get it, but something happened in that room. Yes.
So later on that evening, I was trying to sleep, and I got a visitor. It was actually about 3:00. 4:00 in the morning.
Morning, yes.
It was a man who came to my bedside.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, "Brother, are you from the church?" Because the church had been sending people to visit and pray over me.
That's right, that's right.
But he answered in a voice that I didn't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what he was saying, but I was so weak. I just turned over and let him come to do what he came to do.
Yeah. So at one point, what did the man do? It's like he washed your feet?
He prayed for me.
Yes, he prayed for you,
and
yes.
And he put his hands on my chest and shook my body.
Mm-hmm.
And as he did that, he continued to pray, but he prayed in tongues.
Yes, in a language, yes, a non-language. Yes, yes. And hallelujah.
When he had done that several times,
mm-hmm.
he walked down to my bed and put his hands on my feet.
Yes.
And I looked at him.
Yes.
And it was like as if it was daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
he continued to wash my feet symbolically. And then when he turned and walked out of the room, all of the light went with him. And just then, one of the therapists, Tracy, came in
yes.
to my room.
Yes.
And I asked her, did you see that man who just left? Mm-hmm. And she said, what man? And I said,
praise
you
the
could
Lord.
Not have possibly have missed him.
Yes.
He just walked out when you walked in.
Wow.
And she
Hallelujah.
Says, I don't know, but you look bad. Mm-hmm. Let me suction you. Mm-hmm. And when she did, she was able to clear my lungs. She suctioned so much out of my lungs.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes.
I was
yes.
placed in the ICU.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
And
Hallelujah.
There's more to that story.
To be continued. You know what? We would love to. It's a blessing for us to see someone. That's why when they told me about his willingness to come over and share his story to you all. God would want us to be encouraged today. No matter what we're going through, this might look, this tragedy, God is turning it around for good. Now he has a business. To some, it's like, what would we do now? But there are things beyond our control that God has control over. And one thing that I believe in this powerful testimony, we believe in divine visitation. Yeah. We believe in miracles. Yeah. We believe that God can visit us in where we're at. Yeah. No matter how hopeless the case may be, Jesus is alive. Yeah. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Yeah. Probably on another occasion to be continued. This is like a telesere. It's like greater things. Believe for greater things, because we are so blessed to be a witness of what the Lord has done. We're going to pray for our brother James. And we thank God for reminding us that there's power in prayer. If there's anyone among you this afternoon, you feel like, I don't feel like my prayers are being heard, don't give in to the lie. That's the lie of Satan. Believe when Jesus said that the prayer of a righteous man has power, believe that. Amen. And we leave the timetable to God. We leave when the miracle will happen, we leave that to the Lord. And we know that miracles are performed for God's glory and honor. Amen. And so we're going to thank the Lord for what the Lord has done in the life of Brother James and the entire family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless your name. Oh, thank you, Lord, oh God, for a powerful Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, oh God, to be witnesses that, Lord, you're still doing what you have done in the past. That, Lord, you said in the book of Acts that, Lord, you are giving convincing proofs, oh God, in the lives of people then and even today that Jesus, you're alive. And Father, we thank you, God, for the life of our brother James. Here he is in front of all of us in this congregation, Lord God, in the presence of many. That, Lord, oh God, his heart's desire is to give glory and honor to you. That, Lord, to make people know that Jesus, you have control over the power of Satan, oh God. His intention might be to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus, you came to give us life, and that we may have it more abundantly, oh God. We thank you even for the miracle, oh God, that you have done. That we know, oh God, we're beginning to see, Lord God, how his recovery is, Lord, the manifestation of your healing upon his life. But Lord, when you do something, oh God, it's not just for the physical benefits, oh God. You do something beyond the physical blessings, oh God. You do things, oh God, that would have eternal blessings, oh God, that we will take with us for all eternity, oh God. And that is his faith in your son, Jesus. We thank you for the faith you've given the whole family, oh God, to continually come to you in prayer, oh God. For Sister Claire, their children, oh, Ciara, Lord God, the whole family, oh God, Sister Chris and everyone, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to know, Lord God, that you are in control and that you are still in the business of performing miracles, oh God. Yes. We thank you that, Lord, you're going to use Brother James, his voice, oh God, his testimony, oh God, yes, to show, Lord God, others that, Lord, you are in the business of turning around what might seem tragic, oh God, to something that will be powerful, oh God, and have eternal benefits so others may know Christ in their lives, oh God. Yes. And that there's hope in you, Lord Jesus, because you're alive, oh God. And so we're declaring that over his life. Sister Claire, oh God, and the whole family, We thank you, Father God, Lord, as today we declare that Jesus, you're alive forevermore, O God. That the power of your resurrection is a living hope for his life and for everyone here gathered today, O God. We give you the highest praise in Jesus' name.
Amen,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. During the fellowship, I know you would be interested to check his website and to see what's going on in the life of Brother James. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's help him. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, Brother James. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We give God the glory and the honor. Praise the Lord. Yes, we will continually pray. There's power in prayer. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to come to the Lord in prayer. Before the choir, thank you so much. Because you know what? Even before we call on the choir and sing their, you know, it's a powerful song about the glorious day. Know that this day was created by God for us. Because God wants us to remember that his love for us does not change. His love for us is unconditional. His love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. He meets us in our point of need here in this earthly life, but also his love for us goes beyond, and that is the gift of eternal life. And so we're going to come to the Lord in prayer because we would like to give this invitation for so many, or for some who might want to make that decision. Probably you come, you know, it's Easter Sunday. It's because of tradition that we would go to church on Easter Day. But you know what? The Lord would want you to leave this place with that hope in your heart. That God is here for you. He loves you. He loves you and me. And that the first step is to come to him like a little child and believe that his love for us is being given to us. It's a gift. The gift of eternal life and the gift of salvation is being offered to many hearts that will be open to the person of our Lord Jesus. As we come before him and bow our heads down, this is a moment. In fact, this is the defining moment of this whole gathering. Coming to the Lord in prayer and asking him, allowing the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and to see our true spiritual condition apart from Christ. If you're a young person, God has you in mind. Even if you're an older person, in your old age, God is still here for you. Hallelujah. And so God would want us to confess with our mouths what we believe in our hearts. As you would be asked to, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I would ask you to follow me in this prayer and say it with your lips. Because saying that prayer with your lips seals the benefit of the gift of salvation. Amen. And so all it takes is for us to confess to him that we have sinned against him. We are sinners and we are in need of his forgiveness. And that forgiveness can be given to us as we accept the finished work of Christ at the cross. That the blood that he shed on that cross is for you and me. That we may be forgiven, embraced, accepted by God, called by God. And that in this life, we will have meaning and purpose. And it all comes from Jesus alone. And if you're ready to make that decision today, I will lead you in a very simple prayer. A very simple prayer. And let's come before the Lord. I would ask everyone to come to the Lord today. Because this is the moment that God has given us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So if you're ready to make that commitment, or even if you're someone that you used to follow Christ, but now you need to recommit yourself. This will be also a good time for you to do that too. But we're going to start with someone who has not yet given their lives to Jesus and make that commitment to follow Jesus. And so, Lord, we come to him and let's say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. Thank you for making me see my need of you, the forgiveness of my sins. So I come to you as a sinner, in need of your mercy and grace. And I thank you for dying on that cross on my behalf. Today I make this decision to commit my life to you. I want to follow you, Jesus. And so come into my life. I need the guidance of your Spirit. I need your strength to overcome the powers of darkness in my life. Thank you that Satan has been defeated at that cross, and I receive that victory in my life. I receive your Holy Spirit to guide me from this day on, in Jesus' name. And if you're that someone like those two disciples, you're headed the wrong direction because of disappointment. Many things have come in your life, and you are facing, and you are this totally disappointed in life. But the Lord wants you to remember that there's hope in God. And Jesus is right here, like what he did to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You might be on another road of disappointment, but God is here. God is here to meet you in this time of discouragement. And yet God is here to comfort and strengthen you, that he has not forgotten you and that he's still at work. And so, Lord, we come to you for those who find themselves like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Lord, we lift these hearts to you this afternoon, O God, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to encourage that brother or sister. We thank you, Lord, O God, that God, we know that you are in control. Help us, Lord God. Help us to believe your word. Help us not to doubt you. When times of discouragement come, and so that's this moment, we come to you, Lord God, and we ask for the work of your Holy Spirit. Because your word reminds us that the same power that made Jesus rise from the dead is the same power at work in us, for us who believe. And so, Lord, we choose to believe that your word is true. No matter what's happening, Lord God, we choose to believe that, God, you're going to work them out for our good. And so, Lord, we pray, God, even for our children, oh God, that they may know Jesus in their young lives. We pray for every young person in this place, oh God, that they too may make that decision for themselves, oh God, that they may follow you, Jesus, for the rest of their lives, oh God. We pray for all adults in this place, oh God, to know that, Lord, you are here for us, even for those who are in their prime age, oh God, that, Lord, in our old age, you are with us, giving purpose and fruitfulness in our lives, oh God. And so, Lord, we receive you, Lord God. We receive the power of your Holy Spirit upon our lives and our prayers that, God, use us for your glory. Use us, oh God, that we may be your instruments, oh God, to share to many others who need Jesus in their lives, that truly, as we declare, that Jesus is alive forevermore. Amen. And he has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you for this glorious day as we call on the choir.